Okay.
Let the mountains talk. Let the river run. There's a wisdom here. There is much to learn. There's much to know.
Trying to be free. Now we've got new names and faces.
changes, Lord, still going down. Jerusalem, I see you standing high. But if you lose your salvation, there'll be no tears left to cry. Some men worship a golden calf, while others a bought soul. And if we live like that, brother, we pay the toll. Listen to what the good book said, and it made good sense to me. Talking about reaping what you're sowing, people trying to be free. Now we've got new names and faces. This time around, gospel changes, Lord, still going down. Oh, gospel changes, Lord, still going down.
It's appropriate, though, for a healing service, right? You can do that if you want, Brandon, if that helps.
It's one of those.
Give me a rhythm, will you?
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. 2 days of toil when heart will fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Will take care of you. God will take care of you. He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, for all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. For all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Healing. There's a, you might want to grab a Bible, because we're going to look up some scripture and we're going to read some scripture and we're going to see how much of this we get through and what we don't get through. We're going to save till the next time because it is really good stuff. And I was telling Greg today, we were talking and this verse, Romans 4:17, and we're going to talk about that tonight, but that's really kind of got a grasp on me, and so we're going to take a look at that. Probably do a message or two on it in the future. But there are three areas that I think the Bible teaches about divine healing. One of them is healing for the world in the name of Jesus, and I think we would all admit that the Lord could use some healing. And or the world could use some healing by the Lord. And then healing through the elders for the Christian who has little or no knowledge of the Word. But I will qualify this to say that I do not believe that God heals non-Christians. I believe He heals Christians. And I say that because they're the ones that have the Word. And they're the ones that believe and have faith. And healing for the believer who enjoys the fullness of Christianity. So we're going to take a look at these. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And we see a situation here, and you're familiar with it, I'm sure, of Peter using the name of Jesus to set a man free. But there's some interesting things in here when we look at this. But he says, "Now Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon." Then that was their custom, to do that. "And a man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex." A couple interesting things there. Peter and John were going up, and they did that daily. This guy sitting here daily had to see them coming and going. I think, to me, that's interesting when you take a look at the next verse. Because it says, "When he saw Peter and John about to enter the complex, he asked for help. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, 'Look at us.'" And they probably looked worse than he did. You know, I mean, they may have looked more disheveled than, you know, than the guy sitting there. We don't know. "So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, 'I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk.'" And now I've got an exclamation mark at the end of that sentence. When he doesn't just say "get up and walk," but he says "get up and walk." And we're going to talk about speaking tonight. "Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and once his feet and ankles became strong." What that says to me is that he may have lacked faith, but Peter and John didn't lack faith. And so what they're doing is they're using their faith to help him get up, to help him walk. "So he jumped up, stood and started to walk, and he entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him." And I believe that when we look at this healing in the name of Jesus for the world, that this was more than just for this lame man. Because you got to look at verse 10 in this context. It says, "So they were filled." This is all the people in the temple that were there to pray were the ones that were astonished at what had happened to him. So I think, to me, that becomes very interesting. If you want to flip back over to John chapter 14, there's two verses there that are, I think, interesting too as we look at this. John 14, verses 12 through 14, he says, "I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do." You know what that means? We will do the same works that he does. We're going to talk about that some more too. "And he will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And there are people that don't believe that part of the Scripture. Now, we have to ask it in God's name, and we have to realize that we are using God's faith, the faith of God, not the faith of Larry. not the faith of Tom, but it's God's faith that is in us. And he says that we have the mind of Christ. And so we're going to take a look at that too. Mark 16, 15 to 20. It says, then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. And I think we can go back and say, in my name, they will speak in new languages. In my name, they will pick up snakes. I don't think he meant literally. I'll share something that somebody wrote here as a note here. In my name, they will never, it will never harm them. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. And there's a note here, and it's kind of interesting. It said in 1910, after reading Mark 16, 18, George Wen Hensley introduced snake handling to churches throughout the Appalachian region. Although this passage is part of the ending of Mark, it is considered by many not to be original. Much of the church for 18th century viewed this passage as authoritative. Therefore, it is interpreted literally. One would expect to hear that early Christians obeyed the directive to pick up snakes. No evidence exists that this ever happened, although the Apostle Paul was protected when bitten by a venomous snake. And I think when we do something like that, I think we're tempting God, because we know what that can do. But what the point of this passage is he's saying, go and do these things in my name, and these will follow the believer. So what the church is missing today is, I think, people going in his name and doing these things. And so what we see here is, and I think it's in your notes there, is Jesus set the church against sickness. And what he's saying is, you know, in essence, the church is the hospital. A hospital for sick people, spiritually sick people, physically sick people, emotionally sick people. And for three families this week, it's been for financially sick people that have been looking for help, and we've been able to help them. But, you know, when we look at a church, it's really what we are. We are a hospital for people. Jesus confirmed the word by showing himself alive. When he came back at the ascension, it says, and after speaking to them, the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the accompanying signs. The signs are what he was saying back in those previous verses, that we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Those are the signs. The other thing that I see here is God meets people on their level, on the level of their need. The man that Peter and John touched, he had a need, and so God met that need. Other people had different needs, and we can read all of them, and, you know, in the New Testament, and we can read things in the Old Testament, and we can see where God met people on their need. Healing is God's masterstroke of revealing himself alive to the natural world and to the natural-minded Christian. And what's a natural-minded Christian? That's a person that doesn't have the word. It may be a new Christian. It doesn't have someone that's studied. It's not an individual that has studied the word, that has gotten, you know, the whole idea of who Jesus is in their spirit, and that they're still living, and I would say living a carnal life, they're living their life in the flesh, even though they have been forgiven. And their spirit has been renewed, their body's been renewed, their mind's been renewed through salvation, But yet they haven't, and Paul talks about it in the Corinthians, and we'll read the scripture a little bit later, that they need to get into the meat of the scripture, that they need to get into something that will feed them, will help them grow. The scripture I was telling you about that has really grasped, gotten a hold of me the last couple of days, is Romans 4:17. I know what Romans is before 1 Corinthians. I'm going to just start, I'm going to start in verse 16, but this is the promise that was granted to Abraham. This is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all. In God's sight, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations. He believed in God, who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. So what's he saying there? He's saying, what he's saying to me is that we may look at things and think that, you know, I may look at my knee, and there are times that my knee hurts, but I don't see pain. I see healing. Does it exist yet? No. But do I believe that it will? Because he's saying, he promised this to Abraham before Abraham ever had experienced salvation through the death of Jesus Christ. And so what Old Testament believers had was that hope of faith, and what we have is faith to look back on as what Jesus did, but they had faith to look forward to it. And so what he's saying here is to Abraham, he said, Abraham believed God who gave him life, and he calls all things into existence that do not exist. And he says, against hope, with hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what had been spoken. So will your dependence be. He considered his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's wombs without awakening in faith. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So it wasn't in existence when God told Abraham that. But Abraham believed that it existed. I was talking to Greg earlier today, and I heard this, somebody on the radio, and I can't remember who it was or what it was, but they were talking about this lady, her, I think it was her and her dad, and it was Charles Capps is who it was, and I think it was his daughter, but they were talking. She said that she had talked to a Native American, and that Native American said that the English language is the most negative language there is. And she said to him, said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, as an example, you say, I've got the flu, or I'm getting the flu. And his explanation was, we're fluing. It's passing through us. And it's like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay there. We don't stay there and build a house. You know, I mean, we just keep moving forward. And so he said, or they said on what this radio program was saying, was what we should be saying is, by his stripes I am healed. Not, I'm sick. You know, and the thought that came to my mind is the scripture in Matthew where he talks about sowing seed. And he said, you sow, you know, seed on good ground. Some is sown on rocks and different type of things. And I thought, our words are the seed that we sow. And so if we sow seeds of, I'm getting the flu, you know, it ought to be just, come on, baby, it's coming. And somebody said, and it's been years ago, I heard this, and I thought it was funny, but said the only thing that people talk about being, getting blessed and God working through their sickness, you know, and he said the only thing that's going to work through is just going to make you realize you don't want to be sick. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So we own what we say, and we own our confession. And I think I believe it's very important that we're cautious about what we say, because when we say things like this, I'm getting sick or I'm getting a cold or whatever it is they give Satan an opportunity, because he can't deal with our spirit. Our spirit is from God. But he can deal with our mind and he can deal with our body. And he can make your body sick. And if we confess that, then we've given him an inroad into making us miserable or making us sick. And so the reason I say that, go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. Because this is why I think people read some of these verses and read over them. Let's start with 14. It says, but the natural man does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to know it, since it is evaluated spiritually. So the natural man doesn't have the Spirit of God. It has the Spirit of God, but it's not been renewed in his life. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. Yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So to have the mind of Christ and to know the mind of Christ is to be in tune with the Spirit and in tune with his Spirit. And so we'll know and understand what he would have us to do. I'm not sure when we look at this, it says we have the mind of Christ. Everybody has Christ's Spirit in them, because they were all created in his spiritual image. The most vile sinner out here has God's Spirit within him. It's just not been renewed. And they're living a life of what their mind tells them, and they're living a life of what their body tells them. And so until our spirit is forgiven and regenerated, and then we say to our body, you need to come under subjection to the Spirit, and the same thing with our mind. I talked to someone a few weeks ago that had an addiction, and I said, we need to work on that, you know, and because I didn't want them to think that it was just them, but I said, we need to work on this. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you need to make a decision that I want to turn from this. I said, you've got to take control over it. I said, and this was a Christian. They said they were a Christian. I'm not going to question them, but they said that, you know, that they were a Christian, but they still had this addiction. And I said, we need to take care of this. You need to take control over it. And how do you do that? And we were talking, sitting there talking, and I said, well, you got to realize that your mind and your body is subject to your spirit. You're letting your mind and your body control your spirit. And it's like, well, I didn't realize that. But we don't. You know, for the natural man, a person that, you know, and to this individual, was a Christian but had not been into the Word, had not studied it, and had not read it, to where they had developed anything more than just a natural, you know, just a superficial relationship with Jesus Christ, forgiven, but not growing. Make sense? The second one is healing for the carnally minded Christian who has little or no knowledge of the word. Let's go just down to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ." So he's saying to them, you're not spiritual because you're a baby in Christ. Didn't say they weren't Christian, but they didn't have the mind of Christ developed. He said, "I fed you milk, not solid food, because you were not able to receive it. In fact, you're still not able because you are still fleshly," or you're still letting your body, your flesh, control your spirit. That's what he's saying there. "For since there is envy and strife among you, you are not fleshly and living like ordinary people." Verse 4 goes on to say, "For whenever someone says, I'm with Paul, and another, I'm with Apollos, you are not a typical man," or you're not, you know, that's not a typical thing to do. There's a footnote here that I think is interesting, and I want to share it with you. It says, Paul commented on three responses to the message of glory following crucifixion. First, there were called unspiritual, the Greek term psychokos, meaning devoid of the spirit or merely natural. These are typical citizens of the fallen age, the children of Adam, blinded to God by Satan, who fail completely to grasp the message of the cross. Second, at the opposite extreme, are those Paul called spiritual people. That is, they have the Spirit of God and should be expected to live lives submitted to the Spirit. Because they have the Spirit, they are spiritual. And he goes on to say, sadly, Paul couldn't say these were spiritual because they didn't have the mind of Christ at this point. And so anyway, this is one of the things that Paul had talked to the Corinthian church about, that they weren't founded in a solid biblical teaching. So he's going on to say that the carnal mind or natural mind is ruled by our senses, by what we see, what we feel, what we touch, what we smell, and what we taste. So if you look over at Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil." This is going to sound critical, and it's not meant to, but there are people that come to churches on Sunday that are feeding on milk. They're there for what, you know, they can hear or what's said, and then they turn around and leave, and they come back next week. Never pick up a Bible. Never get any solid teaching. And so they come back next week, and then they come back the following week, and they come back the following week. This is what he's saying here. He's saying here the carnal mind believes only in what it can hear, see, taste, feel, or see. But he goes on to say, healing is provided for the carnally minded Christian. If we look at James 5:14, this is a familiar verse. I better look at James, not Hebrews. Five 5:14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him, anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven." What he's saying here, in order for that particular person to be saved, or to be healed, excuse me, in order for them to believe, they've got to have that feel of the oil. They've got to have, you know, they've got to have that. And this is the carnally minded person he's talking about here. They got to have the elders lay their hands on. They got to have that feeling, and they've got to hear. He could have confessed it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And unrighteousness is sickness, disease, stress, poverty, all that stuff. That's what's unrighteous. Because if you look at the righteousness of God, it's just the opposite. It's blessings. In James 5:16, tells them what they can do, that they can do their own praying. 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The intense prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. So he's talking about two different groups of people there. He's talking about a group, and I believe in anointing people with oil and laying, you know, I'm not discounting that. But he's also saying that for some people, he says, you can ask God to forgive you, and then you can go pray for one another. And it's interesting there, and he says that you pray for one another so that you may be healed. A lot of oftentimes when we pray for other people, we find healing in that prayer for those. And then he's talking about healing for the believer who enjoys the fullness of Christianity. In Romans chapter 8, is a little long, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but I would encourage you to take a, you know, to read it tonight. But there's a few verses in there I just kind of want to pull out and take a look at. The first one is, there is no condemnation now exists for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So that's the Spirit dwelling in us. That's His Spirit being that dwells in us being renewed, because now we have the law of life in Christ Jesus in our being. He goes on down in verse 8, he says, those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And when we stop and think about that, the mind of Christ in us, rather than looking, and there would probably be some people who would disagree, but when we have that mind of Christ and we're in tune with what He wants us to do, then we do things in God's faith. Not in our, you know, not in our faith, but we have the God faith to do that. John 20, 24. That's here somewhere. But one of the 12, Thomas, called Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, if I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will never believe. After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but be a believer. Thomas responded, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed. So we're seeing here that once Thomas saw him, we don't see much about Thomas after this, of how much faith he had, what he believed, where his life went in the Bible, because you hear so much about Paul and Peter and Silas and those that are on the missionary journeys. But at some point here that he believed, and Jesus said, blessed, you have seen me, you have believed. To some people it takes that. Romans 4:16 talks about Abraham's faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, turn over that, because that's an interesting verse. Then tie it together. Let's start with 6. Therefore, though we are always confident, know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are confident and satisfied to be out of the body and home, out of this body and home with the Lord. He's talking here about those that walk by faith are not carnally minded, but those are the spiritual beings, the ones that that have the fullness, they're in tune with God, that have, you know, that are manifesting the Spirit of God in their lives rather than just it being laying in their dormant, but that they're doing something with it. And then Mark 11, 23. Just then turning to his disciples, he said privately, the eyes that you see the things you are blessed, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see things you see but didn't see them, to hear things that you hear but didn't hear them. Just then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, Teacher, what must I do to inherit the earth, inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he said. How do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind as your neighbor yourself. You've answered correctly, said, Do this and live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? That's the wrong verse. I didn't think it sounded right. How about 23? 11. Anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who doesn't gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it roams through waterless places looking for a rest and not finding a rest. It then says, I'll go back into my house where I came from. And returning, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. As a result, the man's last condition is worse than his first. As he was saying these things, a woman came to him from the crowd and raised her voice and said to him, The womb that bore you and the one who nourished you are blessed. And he said, Even more than those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed. So what he's saying here, and when you look at this, is he's talking about that if there's people out there that are against him, he says what you can do is you can confess and that'll bring about possession of him. So, and because when he said, he's talking here about this unclean spirit, and it's been cast out, but it has nowhere to go, because when he's saying that I go back into my house and find it swept and put in order, someone, that individual has replaced that spirit, that evil spirit, that demonic spirit, with the Spirit of God, because they're now living in the Spirit, and so it has nowhere to go. And so when we look at that, he goes and tries to bring 7, you know, 7 more, and they enter and settle down. Because a person that doesn't let the Spirit of God grow in them will be worse off than what they were before. It will be in sadder shape than what they were before. I got a lot more stuff here, but you know, that I'd like to talk about, but I think we'll save that for another time, because I want to do a message on this at some point. But the point here tonight is that we want to pray, and we want to pray for you. If you have a need, we want to pray for that. If you know of someone that has a need, we want to pray for that. And we're also gonna do communion, and I'm just gonna encourage you, as far as communion is concerned, that if you come up when you want to, if you want to be prayed for, then we will be available to do that. But I would like for you to, there's some names that come across my mind as I was just sitting down there. One's Linda Wright. She was supposed to be home today. Talked to Bill yesterday. And so she was doing well. Cindy came home tonight not feeling good. She probably, I don't know what her problem is. Anyway. I have to be careful what I say. And I could tell she didn't feel good. Nancy said Doug went to the doctor today. He had some cancer spot on his leg. And so I don't know how, and she didn't say how that was. We had the three families that we've helped this week financially are struggling. And Nancy had some furniture donated to the church from a relative or some one's relative that died that we were able to bless them with it. So they could use that. We prayed for several people a couple weeks ago. And just want to continue to thank God for, number one, their obedience. And number two, their healing. Because it was healing that they came for, because that's what each one of them said. Always pray for Sunday. I hear comments every Sunday from people come and say, man, it's just a special place. It really is. Then I got to talk to. I'm talking in the process of talking to a young lady that has some things she needs to do. So just want to remember her and her family that the right path is available. They follow the right path. I'll put it that way. So we're gonna make communion available. Feel free to come up and celebrate that on your own. I'm going to be available for prayer. If you have prayer, if you have someone that needs prayer, then let us know and we'll do that also. Others that are here because there's a need. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we open our hearts, and we open our minds. And Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus, you bring about healing and restoration to those in need. Father, for those we prayed for a couple weeks ago, we pray, Father, that they will continue to believe and continue to walk in faith, continue to grow, continue to develop and get in tune with your Spirit. Because that's the way we grow. That's the way we learn. And so, Father, we just thank you for hearing our prayer. But Lord, we also ask that you continue to nudge him if need be. You continue to encourage him and let him know, Father, that you are on the throne. Help us as your church to encourage him and to lift him up. To let them know that we're behind them. We'll walk along with them, walk before them, walk behind them, whatever we need to do. But Lord, we just thank you for hearing those prayers and touching those lives. And Father, as we think about our service Sunday, we pray, Father, for the service. We pray for those that will be gone. We ask, Father, that you watch over them. That you protect and guide them as they travel, as they go about where they may. Father, we just thank you for this church. Thank you, Father, for the message of salvation, for the message of healing, for the message of wholeness, for the message of restoration, resurrection. Thankful, Father, that we can literally have and start living heaven on earth. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? God doesn't care if we pray twice. Let's just pray for those. Father, we come to you on behalf of Bob, and we pray, Father, for safety in his travel. Father, we pray for his healing, his healing of his hearing. Father, we know that you heal, and we know that you bring restoration to our bodies. And so, Father, we thank you for Bob, and Father, we thank you for hearing the prayer. We thank you, Father, for touching his body and giving him wholeness and healing and health, because it all comes through you, and it all comes through the name of Jesus, because you said, and Isaiah said, by your stripes we're healed. So we've already been healed. We have to accept it. And so, Father, we accept it tonight on behalf of Bob, and just pray, Father, for him and for his travel. And Lord, we give you thanks for Jessica. And Father, the way that you healed that hand and let her have the desires of her heart to go back and play volleyball tonight. You are a magnificent God. We couldn't function without you. I don't know how people do, but I'm encouraged by what we see, and encouraged by the hearts of people that seek you. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for hearing this prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. I was talking to Dan Young a couple weeks ago doing a funeral. I might have mentioned this, I don't know, but this family wouldn't leave the casket. And I've done several funerals, but And the majority of people say, well, we didn't attend church, but they were believers. And I hope so. But I told Dan, people wouldn't leave the casket. I said, it's amazing that how do you get through this life without hope for tomorrow? How do you do it? I don't know. I'm just glad we have hope.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that would never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. Never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with.
I think that's the simplest song we've ever done. Simplest, most complicated song. Fewest instruments, most notes. Yes. Wasn't he 27 Club? I think he may have been another 27 Club. What now? What now? What now? What now? All right, what else?
He needed me, I
remember that on Sunday.
It's also one of those songs where I didn't know how hard follower was to sing.
Follower.
Follower.
Follower. Follower. Follower. Hey, why don't you do the song that you're going to have in print for Karen that you guys
oh, that you said we should do? Even though I can't find a church correlation, but
sure there is. Almost,
almost heaven. The first
almost
line,
heaven,
yeah.
First line.
True.
No words on the screen.
Since John Denver seemed to be the main theme of today, he called out Country Roads, and I happen to have it memorized mostly. Country roads, take me home.